Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
It is good. Everything's good right good. Now.
Everything is fine.
My apartment smells. I haven't cleaned it. I haven't gone outside in a very long time, even though I probably could.
You could.
Yeah. I haven't done laundry. Because what's the point?
You know, yeah. Really living it.
Yeah. I'm living the dream. I'm living the shut-in dream.
Yeah.
I'm living that,
really,
what's his name,
really Howard Hughes? Into my Howard Hughes years.
Yeah, I'm living that Howard Hughes lifestyle.
I got Kleenex boxes on my feet.
Yeah. Yep. Start ordering glasses of milk through your door.
Okay, well, I did get milk mailed to me, delivered to me.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh boy.
You see, when you say mailed instead of delivered, it's an entirely different conversation.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I found, because restaurants are now just like, fuck it. Do you want to buy some groceries? And yeah, one was like, I was like, I need eggs. And they were like, we have eggs, but we also have milk. And for me, milk is, I'm just going to keep talking about milk. It's one of those things where like, I don't have for a while and I go, I could go for some milk. And then I buy a thing of milk. And I'm like, oh, one glass was enough. But now I got all this milk.
Yeah, you got to drink that milk or it's going to smell real weird.
I got to chug on this
milk.
Guzzle
that milk. Make sure it splashes everywhere, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this the podcast?
Yeah, this is the podcast.
This is,
we're
milk
just going
talk.
Now. Welcome to Milkcast. We're talking all things milk. I guess we better get started. Hello, everyone.
Do it. Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to episode of Hypecast!
Hypecast!
The show where we get hyped about stuff and or things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am your other co-host, David Bell. And,
Now you go.
You. Oh, my God.
You.
It's me. Yeah. I'm Bridget Greenberg.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, guys.
How are you? How are you hanging in?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
I'm okay.
I'm okay. I'm not the worst, but I am certainly not the best. So.
Sure.
Right. I have definitely been better.
Yes. Definitely been more sane. The like tough mental math I did, like genuinely hard thinking I did to figure out what day it was.
Yeah, that's a real toughie. That's a real toughie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed your live Instagram.
Oh yeah, thanks.
Rough stuff.
Yeah, that was
that
a
was
ton
really
of fun.
Yeah.
Are you guys gonna do more of those?
I think so. Yeah, they were fun to do, and it's I think how we're gonna keep it going for the time being. So our easiest way. Yeah.
It adds to it because
it really does. Yeah.
It's not only you guys talking about like cringeworthy stuff, but now having to do it live.
Yeah.
It's talking
harder.
About cat balls. So much cat ball talk.
It made
me really happy.
A lot of cat ball talk. It does. It made it harder because normally I don't really have a hard time telling this story, but I'm a fraud behind a mic when you have to see my face like cringing.
Yeah.
And when I have to look down a barrel of something, it becomes different.
Oh, yeah, and then you got your friends and family, like, commenting in real time.
Yeah, then my dad popped in. Yeah, it was strange.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, no, nobody wants that.
Yeah.
I wanted that.
Yeah, I was just waiting for dad to come in, because with that podcast, I do tell my parents, maybe don't listen to that episode. Like, maybe listen, like, this one's okay. But now they're just coming on in.
I'm suddenly reminded of a story. I can't remember when you told us this story, but it was like, your dad took you out on a boat and sunk the boat.
Yeah, he caught a boat on fire.
Like as a threat? Did he do it on purpose?
No, it was an accident. There were actually a couple times that he endangered us on a boat. One time he pushed me out of a whitewater rafting boat.
Oh shit. Like
are you sure it's by case? Accident?
He claims he was trying to save me, but I fell out of the boat when otherwise I wouldn't have. And then there was another time where he dropped my brother off on the sailboat and was trying to pick him up on shore by like swooping around the sailboat, grabbing my brother's arm and pulling him in, thinking that's a maneuver he could do. And he almost just ran over a bunch of people on the beach.
What kind of Mel Gibson bullshit was he trying to
I have no idea. He was like, but that would have been cool if I did it. And I was like, yeah, but you almost killed like 12 people.
It would have been like a GTA move. That would have been great. Sweet.
I mean, either outcome would have been incredible.
Yeah, honestly, it was a bold move, and he went for it. He's grown up on boats. I don't know why he's so bad at them.
I think there's a level there where if we're exchanging dad stories, my dad has never gotten in a car accident, right?
Yeah.
And he always boasts that, which in my mind makes him the scariest driver because of that.
Right. You don't get away scot-free.
Yeah. Spending a lot of time on boats, you're bound to like play it real fast and loose.
Yeah. No, that's 100% what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, I can do this. I know what I'm doing. And then like the boat catches on fire. The engine there was smoke coming out of the back of it. And then he opened it up and then there was a small fire.
Right. Sometimes you gotta light a boat on fire. That's the boating way.
Yeah, you gotta light a couple on fire to really
It's Poseidon's law.
Yeah, you gotta light a couple on fire before you're able to grab your son swooping a sailboat. I think he's
you're able to pull off a fucking Waterworld stunt spectacular.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He's almost there.
He's getting there. A little more practice, that's all.
A little bit.
We should probably start the episode.
Yeah, I guess so.
I just want to keep talking about boats.
Yeah, I just want to do a special episode of Rough Stuff.
A harrowing boatcast. Harrowing experiences on boats.
Folks, I want to tell you about some new producers we have this week. Ooh. As people listening to this probably know, we have Hypecast producers now. We sure do. I want to give a... shout out to John Muniz and Captain Toenail.
Woo!
These are two heroes.
Captain Toenail sounds like a boat person.
Yeah,
that's true.
Captain Toenail can definitely pull off that sailboat maneuver.
Thank you, John and Captain, for joining our family. Also in our family, does someone else want to start? I feel like I always get to say these ones.
Well, now I got to pull the shit up. Okay, I can get it. We got Wavy Rancheros.
Thank you, Wavy.
We got Dr. Kitty MD. Solid.
Yeah, the one that's cutting everybody with its cat scalpel taped to its paws.
Listen, get all of the medical professionals into the hospitals now.
Yeah.
We have Mr. DNA.
Mr. DNA.
Mr. DNA. Dave, you want to grab the next couple?
Sure. Lauren Gucci. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you to Bootler Bootleson. Ah, jeez.
Bootleson.
That's one
of those hard to pronounce last names. Grumblebee, thank you very much, Grumbles.
Woo.
Tux, big thanks to Tux.
Where would Tuckums. We be without you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Welsowski, thank you. Thank you so much. As well as I want to do it, Tom.
Okay, you do it.
Jeez. Or Bridget, you want the last two?
I'll take
you want to get in on this?
I'll take it. Okay. The last two from me to Shepherd Mulch Diggums.
Mulch Diggums!
Mulch Diggums!
And Norm from Cheers.
Norm from Cheers.
Sweet
Norm.
Mm-hmm. Y'all want to talk about... well, first of all, there's been a tweet going on around about Cheers being a holodeck program.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. Because the actors they're matching up are from very different Star Trek times.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I was buying it until I saw Kate Mulgrew on there, and I was like, okay, now I don't know much about Star Trek, but I know that one doesn't make sense with the other ones.
Well, Voyager...
Kirstie Alley is in... the original series, like she starts in Wrath of Khan. They don't have holodecks in the original series universe.
Yeah, there's like hundreds of years of these characters. Also, Janeway in Voyager, I believe the whole point of Voyager is they're like lost. So like, I don't, is, all right, hold on. Can the, is the idea of the holodeck, I guess you can, because there's an episode where Barkley has like a spank bank holodeck where he saves all the like women of the Enterprise in the holodeck. It's a real fucked up episode. So
that's
you
just
can
the, that's
like
just the Black Mirror episode. That's the Callister.
Yeah. Oh. Well, TNG did it first. And so I guess you could argue that these people have been like their image has been saved in the holodeck and it's not actually them is what in Cheers, in this Cheers version. Mm. I guess.
It still
Do
seems
we want to
like
keep talking
stretch.
About this?
It seems like a stretch.
It seems like a stretch.
I was excited at first, and then okay. I remembered I don't really know anything about Star Trek, so
sure.
Really dropped
also,
out.
I believe the show Enterprise was revealed to be just a holodeck program. Like
it's,
that's the finale of that
simulation, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
because
boy.
Because they got canceled. They got super canceled, I think. So yeah. They're like, ah, shit.
Abruptly.
Yikes. Well, what a clean exit.
Yeah, you know what?
Moving
I'm sure
on.
That was just like
Scott Bakula throwing on a wingsuit and just fucking yeah. base jumping out of there. That's how Enterprise ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. You guys want to talk about some trailers?
Let's do it.
The first trailer is Capone. Bridget, were you able to see this before it got pulled?
I did.
Good.
I'm not sure if I saw the direct one you've sent, but I did see a trailer for Capone.
Okay.
Cool. And Tom Hardy was wearing makeup like Tom Hardy does.
It's so much makeup.
Is yeah. Capone a zombie?
I guess.
He looks awful.
The makeup looks horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The teeth are what really got. He looks like a monster. A true
right.
monster.
Like an actual ghoul.
Yeah. He looks like when they're getting the exorcism in Beetlejuice. Like he looks yeah. like a stage of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first I was like, are they doing a Capone zombie movie? That was my first thought. Because they talked about him being like evil and a monster. And I'm like, oh God, they're doing this. And then it looked cool after that.
I would totally watch a gangster zombie movie.
Well, I like the version where they're like, you're a monster, Capone. He's like, hey, I'm just a businessman. And they're like, no, I mean, you're literally a monster.
Yeah.
You're eating people's brains. Right. He's like, oh, yeah, that. Yeah, I guess I'm a monster.
He did nothing else wrong. He was just a monster.
Yeah.
In this alternate universe.
This is directed by Josh Trank.
Sure is.
Of Fanforstic fame.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
He quite famously made the remake of Fantastic Four, which underwent horrible reshoots, and then he went online and announced how bad the film was and that it was recut. And so his career kind of took a dive there.
Yeah.
He was also apparently very difficult on set.
Yeah.
Of this movie or of
Fantastic Four?
Of Fantastic Four, yeah.
There was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I do remember this. I just don't know if he's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, he got fired from Star Wars, right? Or was it Jurassic Park?
You're thinking of Colin Trevorrow, right?
Right.
Got fired
yeah.
from Star Wars.
I swear Josh Trank was going to do one of them.
I don't know. There's so many of these fucking white guys.
These just fucking yeah. white dudes. Yeah.
Are you guys going to see this movie?
No.
No. I mean, it's obviously, it's going to be like Gotti. It's got to be the same.
I guess I have to agree with no.
Well, it's also, I mean, you mentioned Gotti, and I'm glad you did, because this is also, oh, wait, never mind. It's produced by Redbox, not by MoviePass.
Oh.
Like, MoviePass no. produced Gotti.
Right. Oh, right. I remember that. But this,
that's pretty funny.
This seems to say, here's what's going to happen, I think, with my journey with this movie, is that I'm going to see the trailer, and I'm going to be mildly interested, and then I'm going to hear it's terrible and not see it.
Yeah. This is destined to be something that I see on streaming constantly and never click on.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a good cast. A weird
yeah,
grouping
I mean,
of people, but...
I want to see Tom Hardy do a voice.
He is sure as shit doing a voice.
I mean, when is he not?
Yeah, he's always doing a voice. And yeah, I looked it up. Josh Trank, 1,000% was supposed to make a Star Wars movie.
Oh.
I assume this was... holy shit. Were they like, hey, let's get that nightmare that made Fantastic Four, or like, because here's the thing about, I should say, we were talking about this a little before the podcast. I like Josh Trank as a person. I like his Twitter. I like his attitude. He kind of has nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a good artist, but from what I can tell, he's not great to work with.
Yeah, and he was supposed to direct the second Star Wars spinoff, which I guess became Solo. I don't know if this was Solo at the time or not, but
okay. So that was pretty early on he got the boot.
Yeah, 2015.
It was
right before Fantastic Four came out and
so
all that shit.
So it was more like he was on a list and then they crossed him off the list.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie, I mean, it looks like the trailer is like tricking us into thinking it might be good, but it's not.
It just, I can't get over how absurd he looks. Like, the makeup is really bad.
It's very, very bad.
It's like, how did you just don't even put makeup on him? Like, why do that?
Or cast an
actual old person to play Capone?
No, that's gross, Tom.
I would say don't do makeup, and I would just see it and be like, oh, I guess they're doing like young Capone, and I wouldn't think anything of it. And then if I'd watched the movie, I'm kind of a dummy. Like, it would take me a second to realize, like, shouldn't he be old in this movie? And if Tom Hardy's just doing a good job, I don't think I'd notice. Like, it's, yeah, just don't put any fucking makeup on it and just don't address it, I guess. Would have been easier.
Yeah, but it wouldn't, because it's specifically supposed to be at the end of his life. So it would be weird if it was just, you know, 38-year-old Tom Hardy or however old he is.
Yeah.
I think it'd be less distracting than this makeup.
Certainly,
yeah.
Because
watching this movie, all I can think about, or watching this trailer, all I can think about is his makeup, watching
it. But we're going to get...
Like, I can't...
I think we're also going to get some good Tom Hardy acting, or crazy Tom Hardy acting, I should say, because it is Al Capone with dementia. So
there is
going to be some very strange overacting.
He might be worth seeing this movie.
Yeah. I think it could at least be fun, bad.
Yeah. Yeah, because Tom Hardy, he's a good actor, but he can do like schlock really well too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like, he can be like in Venom, which isn't a great movie. It's not a terrible movie, but like, he's fucking funny in
but
that.
But he's amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
He's ridiculous in
it. I think he has some self-awareness of what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. This is a trickier territory though. Just playing someone with a real disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
sad.
Like a real person.
Yeah. That is.
And is it. Whenever they say it's the story you weren't told, which is what this trailer does, I always interpret that as, oh, you're going to lie.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a very loose interpretation of something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They might be referring to the fact that, like, he died of syphilis in jail, right? So it's like, the dementia he had, I believe, was a result of it.
Yes, that's my understanding too. Wait.
So I don't think we've ever seen that portrayal of Capone.
Right.
No, yeah. We've only seen...
De Niro in The Untouchables.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Capone-esque.
Possibly because it's not interesting. I think of Houdini's death, where in reality he died in the hospital of an appendicitis versus performing his water torture, which is just what people said after, because that was more interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a feeling they're going to stretch the truth a lot to make this part of his life.
Yeah. Also, he's not dying in jail in this movie, which I...
Right. Yeah, he's like out and
he's
about.
Out.
He hasn't been caught yet?
I don't know. Well, I'm on IMDb right now, and it says after 10 years in prison, he starts suffering from dementia and becomes haunted by his violent past.
Oh, so it's going to be him in prison remembering his past.
Oh,
right?
Maybe.
That's why
none
it's
of
the
it's
story
clear.
You weren't
yeah.
told, because nobody could have, like, there's no confirmation that that's what's happening to him.
Yeah.
But it might be that idea of someone on their deathbed reliving their past.
Yes.
And so that's why you wouldn't cast an old person. Because I bet there's some young Hardy in there.
Yeah, that's definitely it. Because it's a lot of like visions of his past.
Yeah. I think we cracked this.
I think we understand the movie now.
Oh, okay. He was released from prison because of his health.
Ew. Yeah. Well, looks like we have more to learn about old Al Capone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's the story we don't know.
It's the story we don't know. All right, I take it back, Josh Trank. Yeah,
clearly we don't know this story.
Well, and I mean, also something I just realized looking at this, Capone went to jail when he was 33. He died at 48. There is no reason to make him up this much in this movie.
Right.
Okay.
He's supposed to be a 48-year-old man.
Yeah, the...
Okay, so you could just do Tom Hardy.
The trailer says he's 47 in these events.
I missed that.
IMDb. Here's my theory. What if the only shots in this trailer is after he was forced to eat a plate of nachos without his hands? So it's not old makeup. It's just drippy cheese on his face from that scene.
That's probably
it. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Al Capone's drippy cheese face. Written and directed by Josh Trank.
Why didn't they call it that?
Al Capone's drippy cheese face.
Yeah. Oh. Any more thoughts on Capone?
No.
Absolutely not. No, it will probably be a 2-star movie.
Yeah. I think you're right on the money with this movie.
Yeah.
I think you see through this movie very clearly.
I know exactly.
I mean, it just, it looks very bad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's going to be a pocket of people who, when this trailer's wide release, get excited about it. And then we're going to see the scores come out and everyone's going to say it's terrible and no one will see it. Also, can anyone see it? It releases on May 12th.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Next trailer is The Trip to Greece.
Yeah.
I love these movies.
I've seen maybe one and I loved it. So I need to see more.
Yeah. I mean, they're all fucking funny. They're all what you've seen, but you can watch that for a very long time.
That's the thing. We've said in a few reviews and a few episodes where we'll say, like, you know, I could watch just this X scene for 4 hours. And that's what this is.
Exactly.
Is that someone realized, like, yeah, these two guys just talking to each other. You can get like 6 hours out of even more.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think they're at least the first couple were actual series that they then edited down into movies.
Yes.
I think.
I know that's true at least of the first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm anytime I see they are doing another one, which has to be so much fun for them to do, I don't see why they wouldn't be like,
just
go on vacation and film a movie while you're at it, and there's no script, so minimal work for them.
It's really funny because it's like any comedy in the sense of when you watch like the trailers to the Hangover sequels, it's pretty much them like, it's the same thing again. But that really irritates me in this when they're like, they're doing impressions and they're yelling at each other. I'm like, yes, don't change anything.
Right.
Yeah, but it's
because it's always fresh every time.
The Roger Moore impression fucking destroyed me. In this trailer. Yeah.
It's the
when he says, lay my head down and the lesbian.
Yeah, well, because there's no plot of these movies. It's just watching these guys go around. So when The Hangover does it and you're like, okay, you're showing me the same plot over and over again. I don't need a plot.
Right.
I just need these guys doing outdated Bond impressions forever.
It's a real, like, can you believe they got away with this situation? Because I think these two are the only ones who could do this. For the most part.
Yeah, it had to be, somewhat recognizable British actors. You don't know, they're not household names, but you know them when you see them.
And they're just so fun to watch.
Right, and they had to be friends because the whole series plays off that chemistry. And they also have to be good at improv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're so great at just going, bouncing off each other.
Yeah, it's delightful. Good news, all 4 Trip movies actually were series.
Oh.
No shit.
So you can watch even more of the Trip.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where can you watch it, Tom?
I don't know. It's the BBC show, so you could probably find it on
BBC.
Gosh, BBC has like a digital app, I think, that you can watch their shows on. And
yeah, there's a whole... I've had trouble with this because, like, if you're a British person, you have to get like a TV license. It's the equivalent of getting like a cable subscription, but like better, because mm-hmm. they did it better. Mm. And so it makes it so that like it's, I think the idea is with BBC, and if a British person wants to correct me, and I think it's the same in Australia, like, you can just go online and BBC will have like their equivalent of streaming. But for Americans, you don't really have that. It's, I guess, the same way if you go on CNN and they're like, what's your cable subscriber? You have to sign in. There's like a situation like that, which makes BBC stuff, it feels really hard to watch in the States for that reason. Unless they dump it on Netflix.
Yeah. That is tough.
Or Amazon.
I remember watching the first series in college, but that's because someone had the British VPN.
Oh, wow.
So that's not legal, but it wasn't me. Government.
Yeah. Okay. I take literally everything I said back, because you can just buy like everything
Ooh.
On Amazon.
Oh, yeah,
Amazon.
You can purchase it with money.
Like, like literally everything that exists, you can buy it on
Interesting.
Amazon.
All right. You're saying they give money and they give me a thing. Hmm.
Yes, that's
okay,
correct.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
They definitely have season one. I can't see if they have season two or not.
Those bastards.
I know, motherfuckers.
But yeah, I would like urge just anyone. These are such good things to watch right now, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're so peaceful. Yeah. I mean, there's like light conflict.
Yeah. Very light, just like interpersonal drama, but it is not what it's about. You just like, they just go to beautiful places and are funny. Yeah. And mm-hmm. like live these charmed lives, but I enjoy it. It's not rubbing it in your face. It's like, enjoy this with us.
It's what I think Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee wants to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Which... Yeah, instead of like, I mean, there's a couple episodes of that that's good, but for the most part, it's like, man.
I've liked a few of them, yeah.
Yeah.
The one with Chris, the one with Chris Rock was good. The one with Kate McKinnon was good.
Yeah.
It's extremely dependent on who
exactly.
is the comedian.
It depends on who he's got.
Yeah.
Right. And it's less talk showy. It's an actual, you know,
yeah.
banter.
It's like, yeah, it feels less forced, yeah. The banter.
For sure.
So speaking of TV series, our next trailer is for the Snowpiercer TV series.
Man.
With Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly and David Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly is the number one reason I will give this show a shot.
Yeah, we don't see enough of her.
No.
Not nearly enough.
No, not nearly enough. I mean, she's the voice of Spider-Man's suit in the new Spider-Man movies, but it's like,
good
come
for
on.
Her.
But
get her in there.
No, we need to see those piercing blue eyes back on our screen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. This show has been in production for a
forever.
Very long time. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this just the movie stretched out?
Kind of.
Is it?
Because from this trailer, I'm seeing beats where I'm like, I think that's from the movie. Why?
I've been asking that question for the 3 years that they've announced this. Like, why are they doing this? I'm gonna watch it because I plague myself with these things, but why? I don't know.
it's longer than 3 years. They announced it in 2015.
Yeah, is it that like money issues? Is the production difficult?
I'm not
or are
I
they
know,
struggling to figure out why they're doing it?
I know they had like the original, I think Scott Derrickson directed the original pilot. But when they wanted to do reshoots, he was like, nah. And he didn't get along with the new show. Like they changed showrunners
right.
and directors.
Wasn't Cary
like,
Fukunawa supposed to do it?
Maybe.
I think he was attached for a while.
It's not,
I don't
see,
think
it's
it
not
is.
A bad idea. It needs to be different than the movie though.
Well, luckily, it's based on a graphic novel, so they have other material to draw from.
That's
yeah,
cool.
I just don't see how this story stretches. But, I mean, you're saying there's source material, so there's more. But, you know, at some point, like, they're on a train,
yeah,
and it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Westworld.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah. I don't see how you sustain this premise. And sure enough, they couldn't.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
they could
it
not.
Feels like, immediately, it felt like wheel spinning.
Yeah.
But I know I'm going to, like, watch it and then not like it and then keep watching it like I do with Westworld.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, if you have nothing invested in it, sometimes that's fun, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've said this before. I'm done with... I'm not watching season 3.
Good for you, Dave. Westworld.
Thank
I might,
you.
Like, the finale airs, I think, in 3 weeks. I might watch it when it's all up.
Yeah.
The funny thing is about Westworld is I haven't seen any episodes, and it's been... Like, I haven't had to do anything to avoid spoilers because nobody's talking about it.
Nobody's talking about it, yes.
Well, because that show is impossible to talk about because it makes no sense.
I saw that last week's episode was titled Uncoherence, and I'm like, all right, Jonathan Nolan.
We get it. You're fucking
you
with
son
us.
Son of a bitch. But yeah, no, I'll give Snowpiercer a chance. It looks good. I mean, they clearly have a lot of faith in it because I think it's unprecedented, but they greenlit and started production on season 2 before, like, it hasn't even come out yet.
That's shocking for a show
like, they're
that...
they're already filming season 2, yeah.
That's shocking good for God. A show that had so many problems getting off the ground to be like, all right, we're just plugging ahead.
It's taken them, like, half a decade to get this thing on the air.
Yeah, and they've gone through pretty much any, like, every action director there was, it sounds like.
What is
get this thing? I've heard so many names attached to this.
Okay, here's my theory.
Mm-hmm.
The set's haunted.
So oh,
they
be.
Keep hiring a director and then they get spooked and they leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's what it has
maybe
to be.
Ed Harris is chasing them all away from that tank.
Sure, yeah. Is it'd be fun to have Ed Harris in this version too.
As a cowboy.
as a cowboy.
It just comes out as his Westworld character.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
All right. We want to move on.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. I forget how to pronounce. Sela. It was like, there was like 3 ways to pronounce it in my head. And then they say her name in the trailer and I forgot. Sela in the Spades is this next
one. Yeah.
This is like Mean Girls, but way more sinister.
Is it supernatural? I couldn't tell.
I
didn't get that.
Oh, you didn't?
I don't think it is. I think it's just very sinister. It's really piqued my interest.
Yeah,
though.
And I have a huge soft spot for like campy high school melodramas.
Yeah.
So I was excited.
But this doesn't seem campy.
It doesn't seem campy. It seems actually cool.
This seems pretty vicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. There might be murder.
Yeah.
I think there probably is. Yeah.
There's drug dealing.
Uh-huh.
It seems like.
Is it a? It hits Amazon Prime tomorrow. Is it a series or a movie?
It's a series. It seemed like.
Okay. That would make the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a really cool take on a lot of the, like, if Riverdale was good and, like, at all, like, had its feet on the ground.
Yeah, I haven't seen a second of Riverdale.
It's bonkers. It's just bonkers.
Yeah, I've heard it's nuts.
This seems more, like, the way it's shot, it looks really well shot, too. Yeah, this seems like I haven't heard much about this.
No, I've heard nothing about it. And I don't know, this might be the wrong reference, but I immediately looked at it and thought of that movie, The Skulls.
Ooh.
I mean, it doesn't seem dissimilar from The Skulls, except it takes place in a high school.
Yeah.
And it's like popular cheerleader trying to train her protege, I guess. It's a movie. I just checked.
It's a movie. Okay.
Oh, okay. Have they turned The Skulls into a series yet?
It was franchised, I think.
Yeah, there were Skulls
many
sequels.
Direct-to-video sequels for The Skulls.
Yeah.
Oh.
They really spun that one out.
Yeah, I want to explore that universe.
The Skulls universe?
The Skulls universe.
I watched the Skulls in Spanish class in high school for some reason.
That's weird. That's a weird thing to
do. Yeah, no idea why.
I think your teacher just wanted to watch the Skulls.
I think this lady was just like hung over and was like, we'll put it in Spanish and you'll watch the Skulls.
Yeah. And you'll like it.
And you're gonna fucking love the Skulls.
I did like the Skulls. It was, you know, I was in high school and we were watching it, and I was like, "This is cool. This is what college is gonna be like for me."
Yeah, college is gonna be like this. Yeah. I'm Paul Walker. I'm totally Paul Walker. Yeah.
I forgot Paul Walker's in the Skulls.
Oh yeah, it's Joshua Jackson's the guy that's jumping him into the Skulls. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is a titular Skull.
Yeah. That's all I remember about the Skulls. That it's got that vibe like Cursed. Remember Cursed?
Oh yeah.
With the werewolves. Oof. And that's one where I'm like, I feel like I've watched
it.
No,
and I just got confused. I've Cursed and Saved. So I was really interested to see where you're going with how it was like Saved, but
no, I just mean like 90s thriller horror where you're like, have I seen that? I probably have seen that. I don't remember. Cruel Intentions is on that list.
Love that movie. Yeah, that's
yeah.
This I'm excited.
Oh wait, no, I got it. I got it backwards.
Oh,
Paul Walker. Paul Walker's the guy that jumps Joshua Jackson.
That's what
the
Skull.
He's the Skulls. Yeah,
he looks less like a skull.
Right, he looks less like a villain. It should have been Joshua Jackson.
No,
yeah,
but
he's the Skull.
But he's like the preppy generational wealth kind of guy.
Yeah,
he's sort of got that Matt Damon from School Ties look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forgot about School Ties. God, so many movies.
That's a really good movie. Matt Damon's a great piece of shit in that movie.
Yes.
Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah. But this looks cool. I'm into it.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, it looks interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of schools... Our final trailer is for Saved by the Bell, the reboot of the same name.
Yeah, that it's like a sequel series for Peacock, NBC's
for
Peacock.
I have to give this a little bit of credit that they aren't going the route of Full House.
Yeah.
No, it is kind of funny.
Yes.
They clearly were like, let's do something relevant.
And just have Mario Lopez tell all these kids that he banged their mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that they leaned into Slater being a scumbag and that Mario Lopez was like fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is he doing? Ball. What else is he doing?
Right. Yeah.
Is he the only original
cast member? I mean, Elizabeth Berkley was in
right,
there for a second.
For a hot second.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be the only like mainstay.
I think Mark Paul Gosselaar might guest star on I think the others like show up in an episode.
Well,
or two.
It says that they're all like their moms or dads, so mm-hmm. I imagine they pop up every now and again.
Although I would be very surprised if Dustin Diamond showed up.
Yes.
Yeah, Screech didn't have kids.
Yeah. No.
Are they? I want them to all like every time Screech is mentioned, they get like a 1,000-yard stare, and we never find out what happened.
Yeah, just like.
But we know something
their
happened.
Their visceral, like, cold chill comes through the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way this is...
He's like the Babadook of the town. Yeah. Like,
you just hear, like, an owl hoot.
He's a janitor. He's a creepy janitor that everyone tries to avoid.
Yeah, this is... Did either of you have a big connection to Saved by the Bell?
No.
I watched it, but it wasn't... wasn't huge for me.
Yeah, I think there was a point in my life where I was watching this and Fresh Prince. And I was like in that age where I feel like I was in the age where it was like parents just putting on whatever, mm-hmm. being like, yeah, just sit and watch this. So it was never something I was into necessarily.
Yeah, I kind of just missed it, but would still see reruns before Boy Meets World. And that was a bigger mm-hmm. deal.
Yeah.
I looked it up. Mark Paul Gosselaar and Tiffany Amber Thiessen do have recurring roles.
Yeah.
But Zach Morris is now the governor of California in this universe.
Honestly.
Wow, that's terrifying.
Terrifying. the warlock governor of California.
You guys remember him in Dead Man on Campus?
Yeah, he's great in Dead Man on Campus.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things he's ever done. I need to watch that again, because I remember that movie being very good, and I bet a lot of that's memory, but we'll see.
It was one of those volcano Dante's
yes,
Peak.
Yes, with the curve.
Yeah, with the curve, exactly.
With Matthew Lillard.
Oh.
Yeah, they made a thriller version of Dead Man on Campus.
That's on the shelf right next to the skulls for me.
Yep.
In my mind palace, I have that right in that dusty shelf.
Yeah, things that you remember enjoying, but probably wouldn't
right,
now.
Like I remember, right. I remember the curve not being bad, but I bet it's very bad if I watch it now.
But yeah, this seems so cheesy. The Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
I'm sure.
Is that what Peacock TV is going to be? Just cheese?
I guess, like the other thing, what do they got going on? A Punky Brewster reboot?
Yeah, is that where the Friends reunion is happening?
It's supposed to, but it won't.
Right.
It's either Peacock or HBO Max. I can't remember which. It would make sense for it to be Peacock.
Yeah, I actually think you're right that the Friends thing is HBO Max, so.
But Peacock is launching this week in a limited preview for Comcast users, and then I think it's in July when it's supposed to launch fully, but they've had to delay almost all of their original series until next year.
Yeah.
So it's like they're coming out with nothing.
Yeah, when will NBC learn?
I'm sure they have enough money to hang in there until they get all the rights to things, but man, it feels... I mean, Disney Plus is similar too, right?
Right, Disney Plus doesn't have shit.
Yeah.
I should probably cancel my Disney Plus until the next Mandalorian season.
Yeah.
Because I've already watched all The Simpsons again and again, and that's almost enough to keep it.
That is literally the only reason I still have it is for The Simpsons.
Yeah. Although they do...
That's not on FX anymore?
I don't think so.
That's so weird.
Yeah, they do have National Treasure and The Sorcerer's Apprentice on there too, which films.
Yeah, they're films
that if you really need to watch them, you really need to watch them, and they're there for you. So.
Oh yeah, it's got The Rocketeer as well.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff on, but it's all library content. They don't have any original series to
It's not. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that idea because if you had kids. There's this, basically it's a service that's like, hey, you want every Disney film? Here it is. Just pay us $6 a month. Like, that's got to be worth it to people who like Disney films, right?
Yeah, I mean, Disney has that cult following of strange adults.
Yeah,
good
guy. Mm-hmm.
It's like Apple. There's just people who are just blindly devoted to this brand.
And then, of course, people with children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the weird edits that Disney Plus has been doing to some of the... I'm sure everybody saw the splash one where they CGI'd Daryl Hannah's hair in to cover up her naked butt.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And it looks bad.
It does. Are there others?
Yeah. People are finding other stuff. They took... for some reason in Lilo and Stitch, when Lilo is running away from her older sister, whose name I forget... and she hides in the dryer. They changed it so that they changed the door of the dryer so that it looks like a pizza box.
Oh,
for some inexplicable reason, I guess because they don't want kids climbing into the dryer. But it's
maybe they lost a few kids that way. Maybe it got back to Disney
lawsuit,
and they're there's some lawyer who's like, look, this might shock you, but there's been 1,000 kids that have died from that.
Yeah,
from specifically that movie. You guys, you have blood on your hands, and they're like, oh God, we must never tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just quietly changed
it. Paint
it
to look like a pizza box, even though it's still clearly a dryer.
That is very
so
strange.
Weird.
Yeah, they cut there's a post-credit scene in Toy Story 2 where Stinky Pete is talking to two Barbie dolls, and he says, I can get you a part in Toy Story 3.
Yes,
I
do remember that.
That makes the most
sense.
That
one is probably deserved.
Yeah. Well, maybe don't have that. There's a bunch. Yeah. You can look it up. There's a bunch of just bizarre cuts.
Yeah, I wonder if the priest still has a boner in the Little Mermaid wedding scene.
Nope.
Mm. Oh, they took out the boner.
They did. They took it out on the DVD.
They chopped his boner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not even on the DVD version.
Oh, that won't be a fun lore for middle school kids to pass around anymore.
Yeah, you'll have to search for the image on. I mean, it's still readily available on the internet.
Yeah, I tweeted about this a while ago, and I wrote a Cracked article about it. Is I think the first Feifel movie.
Mm-hmm. Go on
Amazon. If you freeze frame it, one of the artists drew a dick, pointed towards the mouth of another character. And I had to Google it after watching the movie, and I had a Fight Club moment where I was like, did I just see a dick? And on Amazon, I scrubbed back, and sure enough, there was a dick, and I Googled it, and people had been talking about it. But it's still there on the last digital version of I saw. So everybody look for that
dick. And then watch the rest of that incredible movie. But
yes.
That's so weird, because that movie is a bummer. Like, there's no not a fun movie. There's no real fun part of that movie.
No, I remember my parents taking me to see that in the one English language theater in Germany, and it fucking devastated me.
If it makes you guys feel better, the dick is in Feifel Goes West.
Oh, that does make me feel much, much better.
That makes
so
me feel a lot
American
better.
Tale is still safe. Intact.
Okay, great, because that is a sacred movie.
It also means that I was watching Feifel Goes West at some point, apparently.
Yeah, that one I will not defend.
Not sure why you were doing that.
Yeah.
I just looked it up.
Yeah, everybody, Google American Tale Dick West. Right now.
Feifel Goes West. Oh, my God.
It's the kind of dick one of us would draw. Like, it's not a well-drawn dick.
That's funny. It's funny. I hate it, but I mean, because I love that little mouse. But
but there's a dick pointed at it.
That's wild that got in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not Feifel. That's just.
That's Tanya. That's his sister.
So, but fine.
That which makes it worse.
I don't know.
Worse
to
make it probably worse or better?
I have no idea. Actually, I said better because it wasn't Feifel, but. I don't know. I don't think it's better that it's a girl mouse.
I think it's bad. No
it's
matter
not great.
What,
right.
I guess.
It's like we're arguing. It's like, is it bad that it's a little? Is it worse that it's a little boy mouse, or is it worse that it's like a teen girl mouse?
Yeah.
Also, don't put your dick near a mouse. The mouth of a mouse.
No, like, don't just bite that shit.
Yeah, I dare you.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what happens.
You remember the song? There's no cats in America, and the dicks are made of cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
they'll just bite right into that.
Oh, we should.
That is how that song goes.
Yep.
That's what they sing. That's the words that come out of their little mouse mouths.
Oh, man. All right, let's get to news stories. You guys.
Sure.
We have some more names to talk about. We have. Davey Francis. Thank you, Davey. Great name. Chancey Pants.
Chance in the Pants.
Chance in the Pants. Thank you. Also, thanks to Space McNulty.
Gotta love Space McNulty.
Good one.
Yeah. And Captain Fatstrong. Thank you, Captain.
We also got Hiram. Oh, great. It's that guy. We got Lef. We got Bob Grenville. Thank you, Bob Grenville. Bridget, you want to take the last couple here?
I would love to take it over for Bart Fartigan.
Bart Fart.
Nolan Madden. Joshua.
Thank you, Nolan.
Joshua Graves.
Back from the graves.
And Andrew McGuire. You guys are great.
Woo-hoo!
This is
Thank
the part of
guys.
Podcasting that makes me feel the most like radio DJing.
Mm-hmm. We got some birthdays today.
Yep.
Andrew McGuire is 31 years young today.
Congratulations.
We got two captains on this list.
Yeah.
You guys notice? See how many more captains. I hope they're both actual, like, pilots.
Actual captain. Yeah, they're both people.
Yeah. I mean, famously, you guys don't accept anyone that ranks below captain.
No, we
That's
don't.
That's true.
And we also don't tolerate stolen valor.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. let's talk about this Shining spinoff, The Overlook.
Sure.
Or Overlook, in the works from Bad Robot, who I think they also did Castle Rock.
Yeah.
They are, yes.
Yeah. I immediately got like Bates Motel vibes where I was like, don't
I mean,
do
it's
that.
HBO Max, so it's going to be campy.
Yeah, it's also probably going to be really fun.
Yeah,
probably. I actually really like Castle Rock.
Me too. That's the thing, is that I would say that Stephen King is not precious when it comes to adaptations.
No, obviously not.
So it's like, fuck it, pile that shit on. Because Castle Rock was, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to lean into camp, as long as they have fun with it, then I feel like you're doing it justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can also picture this perfectly to the point where I'm like, why hadn't we done this before? It's going to be stories at the Overlook, right?
Yeah.
It's
going
to be, it's going to be, they should do it like Castle Rock, where every season is just a different story in the Overlook Hotel.
That's what I would
do. Yeah, that seems like a more natural spinoff than Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
And you could do a lot. There's a lot.
It's more natural.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say there's a lot of material already there you can work with. Like if in the book, The Shining, he tells a lot of different stories about the horrible shit that happened in the Overlook.
Yeah, it's like the mob involved and all sorts of shit in there.
So there's stuff there, and then you can come up with your own shit. Like,
right.
It makes more sense than Castle Rock.
That's a cool part.
Which again,
the cool part of The Shining is that, you know, you walk into that story and you feel like there's so much more to it than what you've seen.
Yeah.
And I would argue that's part of what makes The Shining scary. Yeah. So by telling these stories, it's kind of, obviously none of this affects the movie The Shining, but I do think it'll be less effective than The Shining. Because the thing that made The Shining so great to me, as at least the movie, the book, like you said, Tom, goes into more history, but is that the world feels huge, but you don't get too much. You get a hint of it. You get these pieces of history.
Right.
And the idea that a lot has happened, and I found that creepier.
Right. It's like being dropped in the ocean.
Yeah.
Or in the woods.
Yeah. Whereas this is kind of like shining a light on that, so that's never going to be, I don't think it's going to be as... It could never be as like scary in a psychological way.
No,
I mean that's the Shining's a singular film.
Also, it's you know, Kubrick directed it. Like there's it's just such a good movie. I don't think this will have, you know, the I guess production value or whatever, the prestige of it. But
no,
the artistry.
Yeah.
People have been bugging Mike Flanagan online, being like, "You gonna do this?" And he's like, "No." And I can see the temptation, the want.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he did his thing.
Exactly. I think it's because people saw, you know, what he did for The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, oh, you did Dr. Sleep and The Haunting of Hill House. You put that together, you get Overlook. But I think it's going to be, if it's as good as Castle Rock, then that's great.
Yeah.
And Castle Rock's like fan fiction.
Yeah. That's all this really needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
man, Lizzie Kaplan is so good in season 2 of Castle.
She's good in everything.
Yes.
She's good in everything, but like I'd never seen her play a role like that.
Right, she's Annie.
Yeah. That season.
She's Annie Pot, right?
Yeah. Annie Wilkes.
Annie Potts. Yes.
Annie Potts. Annie Potts. Like, Ghostbusters, what do you want?
That's in the same universe, right?
Yes, same universe, yeah.
The second season is the most fan fiction-y because it's her versus like the Jerusalem Lot vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what is this? What exactly is this? But I enjoyed the shit out of it.
It was really good.
Yeah. It was kind of silly, but I enjoyed it.
I feel like there's just a different bar set for this than like when I saw Dr. Sleep come out and I'm like, why are you doing another movie of this? You don't need it or what?
Well, it's another book. Right. He did the book.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I know
like
what you mean.
Yeah, it just felt like you were kind of like bastardizing what was like a horror masterpiece. But I guess it's a book. It's its own thing, but...
Yeah, Stephen King made a sequel.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, he can make any sequel he wants. And then you have that weird question of when you make an adaptation of Dr. Sleep, what do you do? Do you make a sequel to The Shining or do you make an adaptation to Dr. Sleep? Because those are two very different things. So they like split the difference.
Yeah.
I felt like he leaned more into a sequel to The Shining than he did an adaptation of the book.
You kind of have
yeah.
to, right?
Yeah, I get it. I still didn't like
yeah,
the
ending. I feel like this will have less of a compromise, like a necessary compromise to it.
Right.
Where
right.
it can just like be its own fun thing.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I'm excited yeah. for it, because why the hell not? I also yeah. liked with Castle Rock, I guess you wouldn't do this in this. Castle Rock also every season has brought a new, like, iconic Stephen King actor in it. Like, it was Spacek in the first season, and now it was Tim Robbins in the second. Yeah. I loved when he like, waltzes into Shawshank, and I was like, don't do it, Tim!
Don't go in there.
Don't go back in it.
Not again. Yeah.
Don't go in there!
Not again, Tim. You've done your time.
Yeah.
Our next story was about Peacock, but we sort of talked about that.
We sort of talked about Peacock.
Let's talk about the first look
yeah.
of Dune.
I'm into yeah. this extremely.
I was into this. The moment they said who's directing it,
right.
I was of course.
They announced this back when we were all still at Craft. Yeah. Like, I've been waiting yeah. for this fucking movie.
Oh, forever. It looks, yeah. it looks good. It looks beautiful.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so does Oscar Isaacs.
Smoldering. Yeah, he does.
Did not realize both Oscar Isaac and Josh Brolin are in this, and yep. that's pretty huge.
I mean, the cast is insane.
The cast is pretty great.
Javier
yeah.
Bardem is in it,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm reading it. Dave Bautista is in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he
yes.
is.
Yeah, he plays the Beast Raban.
Yeah, need more Bautista acting after Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he got Denis Villeneuve got a really good performance out of him.
Yeah.
And, he's such a good director. This is
yeah.
He might be my favorite one right now.
That's valid.
I'm not like favorite like working director.
Valid. It's a valid thing to say.
Yeah. yeah. It's valid. I genuinely do not dislike any of his movies.
They're all great. I'm worried about the overhype on this. Because it's...
I'm not... Is there hype on this?
I think so. I mean, I feel like... Well, I don't know. There's such like
Dune's
lore
a popular...
with Dune being...
Yeah. I know...
Yeah. Like...
Dune is really popular with a specific like section of sci-fi fans, but I don't feel like mainstream people are as hyped about Dune, which is why I'm like worried it's going to be another Blade Runner where it's just like it's a really good movie that nobody goes to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's confirmed to be in two parts,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's well. Here's the thing: I hope this director keeps functioning this way, because his movies remind me of like Terry Gilliam, where it seems like no one sees them, but Hollywood keeps making them because they're like, "What are we going to do? Not make their movies?
Good. Right. Yeah,
it will catch up.
Like we don't. It's not a yeah. It's not about money. So like
the Blade Runner sequel was so improbably good.
It was insane. Yeah. I mean. This will be because I mean they're already making two parts, but it has to cost a fortune.
Oh my God!
It has to be one of the most expensive movies to make, and especially to do it in two parts.
Yeah.
They got to be betting big.
God,
on it.
God, it's going to be so long and slow. I can't.
Yeah,
wait.
They got to be betting
yeah.
big on this.
Yeah,
man.
No one's going to see it. Are they thinking this is going to be like the Lord of the Rings? Like, is that what they're thinking of? Where they're like, we want this to be the next big epic.
I mean, Dune is an epic story, so maybe.
Has there been an epic... Oh, sorry. I interrupted. Just going to ask if there has been an epic since Lord of the Rings.
A successful epic?
The Hobbit?
Let's go with successful.
The new Star
yeah.
Wars, I mean...
Nope. Not accepting that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's not quite an epic.
No, when I think epic, I think a movie where it's 4 hours long. And, like, it has a specific tone to it, I guess, that I can't quite put my finger on.
I mean, James Cameron is certainly trying with Avatar.
Yeah, he certainly is trying, isn't he? Maybe... probably not Avengers Endgame. That doesn't count as an epic, does it?
Because those also aren't so like isolated, and they all have different.
Yeah,
you know, when they're feeling bold, they hop genres.
Yeah, that's true. Whatever.
But I don't know. This looks very cool, and I hope it works out. Because I might have been projecting my overhype on it. Because I've been burnt.
Yeah, I mean.
I love the logo because it's that thing where it's like, oh yeah, you can just draw a bunch of curves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're almost cool. Letters.
Yeah.
If you squint, they're letters.
That's cool.
You see, if you look at it like a magic eye, it says Dune.
The armor is dope and looks so heavy.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. I can't wait.
Fucking so hyped.
Yeah, I would love to see, you know, like you said, an epic or a franchise that is not, you know, just a marketing scheme. Mm-hmm. Which it feels like they almost always are.
Yeah. This is Hollywood's one for me, where they're like, we're going to blow like $200-$300 million. We don't even care if you see this. We want to make Dune, goddamn
it. Yeah,
we've got to make Dune.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, you know, with Denis Villeneuve, I can't pronounce his name, attached.
Villeneuve, I guess, or Neuve.
Yeah, it's impossible. But you know who I'm talking about, that guy who did Arrival. I hope the artistry like stays attached to it through the edit, and when we get to see it, that is.
I think they trust him at this point, right?
I would imagine they do. I mean, Arrival was big.
Yeah, there again. I feel like he's like there. All right, we're not making the Avengers. We're not making big hits. But we're making movies that whenever they come out, people are really into. And we know that. We just know we're making very good movies.
Right.
With this
I would
person.
Be so excited if this is the way that like big, huge franchise movies end up going, is like a little more artful.
Mm-hmm.
So rooting for this.
Yeah.
I
cannot find the budget for this film anywhere, and I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I know.
They're probably keeping a secret.
They're keeping a lid on that shit.
It's the GDP of like 7 of the smallest countries combined.
Our final story is about Roger Corman.
Oh yeah.
Who is, he has a quarantine film festival going right now.
I think that's brilliant.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant that it's him doing it.
Yeah,
he's just like, send me your movies. I'll tell you what's good, and it's like, damn right you will, Roger Corman. Mean,
hell yeah.
Yeah, you're not the voice that, you know, the arbiter of taste, but you know, someone should be doing
it. He's the man willing to watch hours of crap to find some gold in them.
I mean, he found Coppola. He found Jim Cameron.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson.
This is a brilliant idea, and I think especially since so many like major festivals got shut down, it's really cool that filmmakers have, you know, a thing to submit to and look forward to and a way to potentially get their work seen.
Yeah
it's a short film competition. He wants everybody to film on their iPhone. It's got to be less than 2 minutes.
He's a busy man.
I mean, he's going to get a shit ton of submissions. So
he's going to get it. Yeah, he's going to get a shit ton.
So your 15 to 20 minute short film isn't going to really work for this. But
no,
I like the idea of like encouraging people to make stuff and be creative, and then and not just have that like live on social media in a void.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good on you,
Roger Corman.
Yeah.
My man is 94.
Keep it up, man.
He's 94.
He's got another 90.
Yeah.
Got another
he was,
90.
He was produced. He produced all those Vincent Price, Edgar Allan Poe movies in the 60s.
Yeah.
Like he's been around forever.
He is ancient.
I respect it more now. No, like I knew he was old, but wrapping my head around like, hey kids, what are you shooting on your iPhone? Let me see it.
Yeah, this might just be an old guy who's watched all of Netflix, and he's like, I have nothing to watch.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, everybody, send me some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just for him.
I'll watch it.
There is no Roger Corman film festival. He's just bored.
No, at the end, the judging will be him just going, yeah, it was pretty good. They're like, what film? They're like, yeah, it was all pretty good. It's good job, everyone.
Kids, keep making your little movies on your iPhones.
right, I'm going to take a nap.
Making dreams come true.
I don't know what Roger Corman sounds like, but this seems like a perfect impression.
With. It came out and it felt right.
He sounds like a very old man.
Yeah.
That's what he sounds like.
I just went Hollywood producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old Hollywood producer.
Send me your pictures.
Yeah. Hey, kid, you got something there. Keep up the good work.
Shit.
That's it for news stories. We got some more names.
Yeah, more let's names. Read them, Dave.
Yeah, let's read the names. Ozzy,
woo!
First name. Thank you, Ozzy. Also, thank you to Tom. Quasi Dangerous Levels of Hype K.
Yeah.
Thank you, TK.
Yeah.
AJ, thank you for keeping your name short,
yeah.
AJ.
Thanks,
that's
Edge.
Yeah, Edge. Tip Drizzle.
Woo!
Oh,
that, yep.
Love it.
All right.
Mr.
Then we got,
Dribble.
Mr. Drizzle, yeah. Then we got Frankly Amish.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frankly Amish. We got Mrs. Voidus.
Woo.
Mrs. Voidus.
Voidus.
The ghost of Dave Thomas. Haunting us still. Aaron Burser. Thank you, Aaron Burser.
Aaron.
David Knife Boot Hinson. MBA, CPA. Thank you.
Thank you and all your
thank
degrees.
You,
Knife Boot.
All your credentials. Yep. Bridget, you want to grab the last couple?
You don't have to. You can say no.
I would love to acknowledge these people, these brave souls.
Okay.
Christopher Robert Spatz Esquire.
Topher Bobby.
Mackenzie, Righteous Hand of the Lizard People, Chill. Yep.
Thank you, Mac.
Thank you, Mac.
Funky J.
Funky J.
And Pie Guy.
Woo-hoo! Thank you, Pie Guy.
Thank you, Darren Aronofsky. That is definitely who that
yes.
is.
Yeah. Thank you so to much. All our Patreon subscribers.
Oh, man. Ah, man. I feel like it's that time. Dave? Dave.
Yes.
Dave.
What is it, Tom?
David.
I'm busy. I'm a busy man.
So much to do. Places to go.
I have so much to do. Do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
You know I do.
Oh, shit.
No way.
Yeah, yes way. Yes way. This is called Proximity. It has a release date of May 15th this year on VOD. It is made by the former visual effects artist from Stranger Things and Game of Thrones and Tron Legacy. They've made a few short films, but this is their first feature. And it is about a NASA JPL scientist who is abducted by aliens. And no one believes his story, and he goes on a journey to find proof. And if you've watched the trailer, it looks very unique.
Yeah.
This is coming out in a month, and I've never heard of it, and it looks like a real solid sci-fi.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Yeah.
It's the aliens look like, I don't know, like they're in a Daft Punk music video. If those are in fact the aliens.
No, those aren't the aliens. Those are like.
Are you sure?
Yeah, those are like Nest guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. And it looks pretty trippy. It looks like maybe the aliens aren't, you just won't see them. I don't know. Those guys looked very space age. They're in all white. They got weird ass goggles.
Yeah,
but I think they're just like Nest guys.
Yeah,
because
I feel like the visual effects artist for those two things would do some crazy CGI aliens.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. This might be more subtle in the visual or in the visuals.
More of like
I'm
a
not certain.
Like a conceptual alien, maybe.
The alien was in our minds, in our hearts all along.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in this. I love it whenever people from sort of like different departments decide to direct.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting things always come out of that.
Yeah, I think of the director of Tron. He started, how did he start? It was like, he did like sets.
Oh.
Or something like that. or it's there's like a very clear, you can really like tell that he came from a visual background as well with his movies.
Right.
Architecture, that's where he came from. Yeah. And so then he started directing, and so if you watch like his movies, Tron Legacy and what was the other one? Oblivion. Like they're very pretty movies, and he's doing Top Gun. So like this, just from this trailer, it looks like probably gonna need to give this guy a shot. See what kind of movie he can make, because it looks very interesting.
Yeah.
And
it's a very simple plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, guy gets kidnapped by aliens. It's like Phenomenon.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He's got Phenomenon powers.
Oh yeah, it seems like he has Phenomenon powers for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like.
So maybe it's just.
Sorry, I feel like if your sci-fi movie can be distilled down that simply, it leaves a lot of room for a lot of more interesting things to happen when you actually, you know, in the nitty gritty of the movie.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. I like when you can tell me what a sci-fi is about and it's succinct.
Mm-hmm.
There's clearly a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, or it's just really visually fun to watch. And so that's why I encourage people to Google the trailer for Proximity, because it's definitely one that you can't really do justice just talking about. You watch it and you decide for yourself. Mm-hmm. I think it looks good, especially for like a pretty, I think it's pretty low budget.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
for sure.
Getting much advertising.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
It is a compelling trailer, and it's definitely low budget, but it doesn't look cheap.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got all that. He can do all the special effects himself or something. I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah.
Show me an alien film, kid. Yeah, that's a good alien.
I'm Corman.
It does not sound like that.
Hello, I'm Corman.
Corman's name?
That's my impression. That's
how
my
you doing?
Impression.
Corman's name. Roger. I think I'm going to live my life as Roger Corman now.
Roger.
Yeah. That version of
that
Roger
version,
Corman that you've created.
That, a made-up, not real version of Roger Corman. That sounds a little bit like my grandfather.
Sure. He sounds like... Roger Corman has a little bit of grandpa
in
him.
Oh, for sure.
For everybody,
yeah.
I think.
He's 94 years old. He's got a lot of grandpa in him.
Yeah, that's true.
Might be...
Oh, man.
Maybe even great.
Maybe
yeah,
even
it's
great.
That's entirely possible at that age. Man, guys, I think that's a sode.
Ooh, yeah, I think
that's
we did
a sode.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we got through it. Thank you, Bridget.
Yeah,
for being
thank
on
you
this.
So much
yeah,
for being
it was
here.
Fun. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. What do you got to plug? What do you want to tell people about?
Yeah, we got some more. If you go over to the Small Beans Network, there are two pods floating around there that my voice is on. One is Rough Stuff, where people tell embarrassing stories from their childhood. And then the other one is The Cast and the Curious, where we talk about the Fast and the Furious movies. So we're going to keep doing that. And then you can watch, keep up with me on social media. We might do another Rough Stuff live stream episode. So you can follow me on Twitter at Bridget Tweets or on Instagram at Bridget_Greenberg.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, those podcasts are both very entertaining.
Thank you.
I've been enjoying them in this quarantine, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
I guess I should tell people about our Patreon.
Dave, tell them what we're doing.
Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. I yelled it out.
Do it.
So my neighbors could hear. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Check that out. Oh, and leave us a review.
Yeah, wherever
on
you
the
listen
iTunes.
To this. Slide a little review in there. It helps us out. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, we have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where we've got t-shirts and stickers and other kinds of merchandise. But you don't have to buy a t-shirt right now. Times is tough.
Sure.
That's fair.
Don't do it.
Throwing it
Don't
out there.
It.
Gotta throw it out there.
Yeah.
Just
throw
in
it out
case.
There. See, put some feelers out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe maybe somebody's dying to buy a t-shirt. I don't know.
You don't know their life.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you people
like
live.
Like, they're literally, like, they need a tourniquet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, our t-shirts make great... Actually, they probably are shoddy tourniquets, to be honest.
Not the best, yeah. You probably don't want to use them for tourniquets, no.
Yeah. You don't really want to, like, skin contact, a lot of rash issues, and, like, they're kind of deadly.
You guys are salesmen.
We went for the... Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went for the ones that are sure to destroy people who wear them. They're cursed. They're haunted.
Yeah, they're haunted shirts.
Yeah, there's a lot there. But yeah, check it out.
Do that. All right, let's get out of here. Say goodbye, everyone. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at thecorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.